Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm regular guy Dean Vitale, joined by lifelong pastor John Bell. And what we do here on Off the Cuff is about once a week, we get on this podcast and we talk about regular questions, regular guy questions. Like you might have a question about scripture. You might have a question about the Bible, obviously. You might have a question about religion and do's or don'ts, or is this true or is that true? And so John Bell is a lifelong pastor and has been studying scripture for 60 years, John?
Let's see. I started reading it as like probably 4 years old. Every night in the, we had Bible study in our house, and we, my mother's method was we'd read a chapter a night. So I got started there, and I can still remember some things that I learned even then. So yeah.
Wonderful. So we asked John to draw on his wisdom, his biblical wisdom, his teaching, and answer some of these questions. Now, here's the truth. It's not his opinion. It is taken from Scripture, and he will tell you where it comes from, and then it's up to you to do with that what you please. You can believe it. You can research it. You can ask further questions, but that's what we do here. So, John, again, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And I'm not going to say I'm excited about this one. I'm elated about this one.
Okay.
Right. All right. So this is today's question, John. Parables in the Bible, are they really all true?
Again, simple answer right out of the box. Yes, they're all true. So the word para means alongside. And so here's what's behind a parable. It's generally a spiritual truth, which might be too abstract for a lot of people to understand or to grasp right away. So that spiritual truth is laid alongside something in the physical world or something that people are very familiar with. And when you lay the two alongside of each other, then people can grasp it a little more. But yes, there's truth in every parable, but not every part of a parable is to be taken and you know, for us to try to understand what every part of the parable. There's usually one, maybe two really important lessons that are being taught in the parable.
Mm-hmm. So when someone says Jonah really was never swallowed by a whale, that's just not happening. That's just a folklore. That was to illustrate a point. Did Jonah, was he in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights?
So, you know, whenever you talk about miracles, one of the things that when people bring up the fact, you know, is the resurrection true? Was the world created in six literal days? Did Jesus really bring Lazarus back from the dead? Was Jonah swallowed by a whale? Did Moses really split the Red Sea? The answer to all those things is all the miracles are true because God is powerful enough to do those things. Now, they're out of the realm of the natural order of things. They're in the supernatural realm. But that's what makes them miracles, by the way. It's that they're not scientific. Because for something to be scientific, it has to be observable and repeatable, right?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for an actual scientific theory to be accepted as true, like gravity, you can throw a ball up 100 times and 100 times it's going to fall back to the earth, right? Why?
Right.
And so you say, oh, that's how gravity works. Even though you can't see gravity, but you know that's how gravity works. Aerodynamics, thermodynamics, those are the kinds of things that they're all observable and they're all repeatable. But Jesus walked on water, and then Peter tried it, and he took a few steps, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah. But he did take a couple steps. You got to give him that. That's more than I could do.
Right, but that's because Jesus was there, and he was doing it in the power of Jesus. And as soon as he saw the wind and the waves, and he took his eyes off Jesus, you know, he went for a swim. Actually, he was drowning. And so any kind of miracle like Jonah or Jesus' resurrection, any God is going to step into the world. And by the way, all the laws of nature are laws that he created. I mean, he created gravity. He created aerodynamics. He created thermodynamics. He's behind what we call nature. It's not Mother Nature. It's nature created by God. But he can suspend a law. He can do that. I was reading about the resurrection recently, and you know, Jesus rises from the dead, and he's in a physical body, but it's a different kind of physical body because it's the kind of body that can actually pass through a wall. So he can go from one kind of dimension into a whole other kind of dimension. And there is a spiritual dimension that exists. And just remember this, the spiritual dimension actually does control the physical dimension.
I'll say that again.
So the spiritual dimension, the dimension that we can't see. So right now, all around us, there's literally millions of creatures, angels and demons, and you know, there's all kinds of spiritual things taking place kind of behind the scenes that we don't see. Here's what Paul says. Paul says, when we get into trouble and we're fighting a battle, a spiritual battle, he says, and we may be fighting that battle with another person, but Paul says, we're not really fighting that person. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're battling rulers and beings in high places.
Principalities.
Yeah, principalities. So, yeah. So, anyhow, back to parables. You want to go back to parables?
Yes, please.
Okay, so back to parables. Here's an interesting thing. If you look at the book of Matthew, in the first 12 chapters of Matthew, which is basically up until just before his last year of ministry. So for the bulk of Jesus' ministry, he's actually never teaching in parables. But if you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are no parables in the Gospel of John. But if you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there's like a total of 46 parables. But it isn't until Matthew 13 that Jesus starts teaching parables. Now, normally, you might use a parable because you can use something in the physical realm that people are familiar with to explain a spiritual truth. The reason Jesus starts teaching in parables is to actually hide the truth. And he's hiding the truth, interestingly enough, from the people who have rejected him. Because by the time you get to Matthew 12, the leaders of Israel have made it clear that they will not accept Jesus as the king, as the Messiah. And so it says, like in Matthew 13, verse 1, that day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, right? Now, after he's teaching many things, verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? See, this is the first time this happened. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand, why did you switch from the teaching that you've been given, like the Sermon on the Mount? Why did you switch from that to starting to talk about parables? I mean, he always used illustrations. You know, he used metaphors, but he never had spoken in parables before. And these parables actually contained hidden truth about the church, which was a mystery, wasn't ever seen in the Old Testament. And it also explained, how the nation of Israel, in rejecting him as the Messiah, how their future was going to turn out. And it wasn't going to turn out very well. So here's what Jesus says when they ask him, why do you speak in parables? He says, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has, so shall be taken away from him. And this is just all about the truth of God. So what was going to happen, because they had rejected Jesus as the king and as the Messiah, the knowledge that they had, and they had a lot of information, the Jewish rulers, the Jewish leaders, I mean, they had so much information. But here's what's going to happen. As time goes forward, they're going to lose that information. And you know who it's going to go to? It's going to go to the disciples, and then it's going to go to the people who join the disciples in their teaching, because they're going to write most of the New Testament. And that's how they're going to learn. And he says, so the people that whoever has, which is, he's talking to the disciples, more will be given. Those who don't have, so they don't have this truth, especially about who Jesus is, even that is going to be taken from them.
So correct me here now. So what I'm hearing is this: the majority of Jesus's time in ministry, over 3 years thereabouts, he did not speak in parables.
No, it was only the last year.
Okay, and then, this is something I didn't know, and you know what, I feel like a goofball, but here in the Gospel of John, there is not one parable.
There's no parables.
Now, why is that?
Well, John, so each of the Gospels has a focus.
Right.
So Matthew is focused on Jesus as the king and as the Messiah. Mark is focused on Jesus as the servant of the Most High God. Luke is focused on the humanity. That's why the birth of Jesus is given in such detail. That's why Mary's genealogy is in the Gospel of Luke, because and this is the title he goes by in the Gospel of Luke. He's the Son of Man. So over and over and over again, you'll see him referred to as the Son of Man, which is his favorite title for himself. But John focuses on his deity, and you know it right away. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, you know, down in verse 13, and the Word, the eternal Word, which was God, and the Word became flesh. And then you see throughout the Gospel of John, just, and the reason is because John isn't writing his Gospel until about 90 AD. Right? All the other disciples have passed on. And so he's writing later, and he's combating something called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism basically said, one of the false beliefs of Gnosticism at that time was that Jesus wasn't really God. And so he writes his gospel to show, no, he was God.
Okay, so let's just recap one thing. Now, you said that Jesus, when he did use parables, he used it almost as preaching in secret.
Yeah. He was using it because the leaders of the nation had rejected him. So he continues to teach, but he's covering up the fact of his identity, because he knows, it actually says here, they were already in motion to put him to death. And he, you know, he's in charge of his death. He knows when he's going to die, and it's not for another year. So this is around Passover time, but he's going to he's still got a year of ministry left. And so he has to finish the work that God gave him, that his father gave him to do.
So he's almost kind of being a very creative witness. He doesn't want to say too much because at that point, it's not time for him to be arrested.
Right.
Am I right?
Right. And he still has a lot of teaching
to do.
Give to the disciples. And I'm not just talking about the 12. I'm talking about there was a much larger group of disciples than that.
So here's an off-the-cuff question. Is there a minister of the gospel right now that still uses that? You know, where they kind of, now I know in children's ministry, obviously, you know, they go in and they learn how to color and they, you know, and they obviously are coloring, you know, Jesus and the disciples and we're teaching them at a very young age. But is there that would be a great way to even start a ministry if one's not started. You're almost, and I know we don't like to talk about self-help books, but it's almost a self-help book that actually teaches scriptural values, but it's not sold in the religion section. It's sold under self-help.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, so the closest thing to a parable would be like Aesop's Fables. Remember Aesop's Fables?
I do.
All right, so that's... Those are kind of parables. And you can, it's okay. I think that Christians should be more creative. I think that sometimes we don't use all the creativity that God gave to us, but we could be much more creative. You know, C.S. Lewis, the Tales of
Screwtape Letters,
Tales of Narnia, Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. I mean, those are all Christian things. They were the lion in Narnia, that was Jesus Christ. You know, it was told in a very creative way.
Yeah.
You can
so not
you
know, not so much the screw tape.
Come out of a parable, and you can also hide the truth in a parable. And like I said, the reason he's hiding the truth is because he's gonna explain to the disciples what he means, but he's not gonna explain to the crowds.
Okay, so last question here. So you said some things are not, you didn't say some things are not true, but there are some things that's all based in truth, but some elements within a parable might not be true.
Well,
is that right?
No. They're true, but we shouldn't look for a meaning. Everything in, it's a story. So it's a story that's always true. You know, the parable of the prodigal son, probably the most famous one.
Right.
Here's the interesting thing about the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son was not about the son who went out and ended up in the pigsty. The focus of that story is really on the older brother who stayed home.
Right. You told me that. I remember we talked about that one.
But
here's the thing, John. Okay, that I can understand. There are, you know, a couple of sons and a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I get that. But when you talk about, you know, parting the Red Sea, and then when you see that when you're a kid on television, and then you see it, you know, even later, and then you read about it, and then you watch the History Channel, and they look at these charts, and they say, no, that really did happen, because if you look at these charts, you can see, they take satellite images, and they go deep with these images. That's an incredible miracle, you know, and you know, then you think of a whale, because, you watch, you know, all these fishing shows on television, and you see these huge sharks and whales, and now you say, wait a minute, so God took Jonah into the whale's belly because Jonah was going somewhere where God didn't want him to go, and, you know, God is going to take you where he wants you to go, regardless if, in fact, you want to go there, and then the whale spits him out. That's incredible to believe that.
Yeah.
You're saying that all that is true.
Those are miracles. Those are not parables.
Oh.
See, you can't.
I am confused.
Parables are stories. Miracles are history. I mean, they're real.
Like the Good Samaritan, that would be a parable.
That's a parable.
I got it.
Or the sower and the seed.
Yeah. See, I learned, you know what, I'm going to get a bell. And every time I learn something, I'm going to ring the bell. That's great.
No, great. All the other stuff is true. And, it, and by the way, it wasn't a whale. It just says a great fish. And
I got it.
Right. And here's another That's thing, good. Dean. I actually believe that Jonah died and that he was brought back to life.
Well, we don't have time to talk about that, but we got to bring that up too, you know, because I'd like to know scripturally where that's at.
Well, because it doesn't say one way or the other. It just says he was in the, and then it compares, you know, the resurrection is compared to Jonah being delivered from the fish. The resurrection of Jesus is compared, you know, Jesus is in the heart of the earth. And he comes forth from the heart of the earth in the same way that Jonah came forth from the great fish.
All right, great. All right, well, we're at our 20-minute limit. We got to stop there. Okay. John, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Again, I learned more, and we hope that you learned at this episode of Off the Cuff. We ask you to invite your friends. If you heard something, you like something, you want to bring someone on board, tell them where they can find Off the Cuff. And we do this at least once a week. And you can find Off the Cuff at AmazingMenMinistries.com. Go to the series button, click down the menu, and you'll see Off the Cuff. And you can click there, and you can keep updated on our podcast. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the favor of the Lord. We're going to talk about what does it mean when the Bible said God created mankind in his image. And we're going to talk about God's patience with us. Those are all future episodes of Off the Cuff. On behalf of John Bell, our resident pastor, lifelong pastor, I'm Dean Vitale saying thanks for listening. We look forward to talking to you next time.